T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Boy, that is one tasty burger. Texter says he believes that you are not a fan of the Big Kahuna Burger. You must be a Royale with Cheese kind of guy. Royale with Cheese.
It is a tasty burger.
You know why the Royale with Cheese is Royale with Cheese? Because of the,
metric system.
Because of the metric system, correct. Texter also says Will Spiers got ripped because he decided to throw it on a 4th-and-15, and the receiver, Tanner Muse, was in double coverage. Yes, I do remember that now. It was on the fake punt in the Boston College game a couple of years back. Last year against Boston College, I believe, when they took on BC in Chestnut Hill. Right now, by the way, in the ALCS, we do want to alert you to this. Apparently, there's been a bit of an umpire delay that took place with regards to the plate umpire in the game. Apparently, there was a foul ball that got taken to the face by the plate umpire in the game, Jeff Nelson. They're in the process right now of basically rearranging the umpires. Kerwin Danley is going to put on the umpire's gear, and they're going to go without a left field umpire in the game at Yankee Stadium, which the Astros lead New York 2-0 in the top of the fifth. So we'll keep you updated on what's going on there. The Astros lead thanks to home runs in the first and second by both Jose Altuve and Josh Reddick. Again, that series tied at 1. This is game number 3 at Yankee Stadium. Later on tonight, we have the Nationals and the St. Louis Cardinals. We will actually be carrying that game for you right here on ESPN Upstate. That will follow our coverage of the replay of the Clemson Calls show, which normally takes place when we are done here on Tuesday. So Clemson Calls with Dabo Sweeney at 7, and following that, the fourth game of the NLCS between the Cardinals and the Nationals. By the way, St. Louis, you want to talk about the fact that this team came in, maybe put a little bit too much of their mental real estate into that game or in that series with the Braves. They have looked like absolute garbage against the Washington Nationals. And if you are a Braves fan, you got to feel a little chapped, honestly, I believe, if you're sitting here talking about that and watching that. It's got to make you sick to your stomach. Washington has the opportunity to close out that series today and get a nice long rest before the World Series begins a week from tonight. We also talked a little bit about the NFL and the officiating and how it's ruined the football game. That game last night was absolutely terrible. We've also asked you the most vulnerable playoff hopeful, in the games that are yet to come. 33% of you say Alabama, with remaining games against LSU and possibly against the SEC East champion, whether that's Georgia, whether that's Missouri, whether that's even South Carolina could possibly be still in the mix as well. Which playoff hopeful most vulnerable? 33% of you saying Alabama, 26% say LSU, 26% say Clemson, and 15% say number 4 Ohio State. Somebody tweeting us on that question that came to the fold. It's Ohio State has a tough schedule with Wisconsin, Penn State, and Michigan. This is from at Ben Mark here on Twitter. Alabama and LSU have Auburn at each other. Clemson has South Carolina. Both Clemson and Ohio State have good defenses. Both LSU and Bama have not had great defensive performances despite great offensive play. And that's the one thing we talked about yesterday with David Hale of ESPN.com. He seemed to think that LSU has just basically signed itself over to the devil, despite the fact that Dave Aranda Bates paid $2.5 million to figure out that D. And oh, by the way, they have looked porous with regards to looking almost more like a Big 12 team than they are a team out of the toughest division in all of college football, the SEC West. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. Put ESPN in the body of your text message and be a part of the program that way. We're going to talk in a little bit less than 20 minutes to our friend Matt Connolly of the state newspaper, Clemson Beat Writer, as he does every Tuesday with us. Let's go to Harold, who wants to talk some Gamecocks. And Harold, you are on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, thank you. No, I ain't talking no Gamecocks. I want to give you some kudos. I didn't get to tune you in after you got to talking about the Swamp Rabbits, but every word I've heard you say out of your mouth, all I can say is amen to you. I mean, I'm in agreement with everything you said. And what I wanted to say, I hope I'm not off base here, but I know I wish Sturge well when he comes back, but I was wondering what's going to happen to you and me saying that. You need your own show, but you got to have a top shelf producer like Diesel.
I appreciate
that. What first time I heard Mark Ryan, Diesel happened to be the producer that night, and I told him, I said, you know, he needs his own show, and I think it'd be the number one show in South Carolina, you know, sports talk show. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to you, but at least I hope you're going to be the fill-in every time, one of them's not, because, so I don't know what's going to happen to you, but you need your own show.
I appreciate it.
And I say that.
Appreciate that, Harold. Thank you so much for the kind words.
You're the number one fill-in around here.
That's basically what it is. Yeah, I've been the only local programming on this station for the last 2 days too. So let's just say I've become a pretty valuable commodity around these parts. Not to toot my own horn. So basically, in Harold's mind, you need your own show, and I need my own show.
It's like Oprah. You get a show. You get a show. You get a show. So, everybody gets a show.
So basically, we're gonna put me on in the morning. Put you on midday mornings. Put Mark on from 1 to 4, and when Sturge comes back, he'll be 4 to 7. Is that how I'm? So you're gonna do 10 to 1? Is that what you're gonna do? If Harold was the program director,
I'll do 10 to 11. How about that?
1 hour? No, you can't do 1 hour.
You can't do 1 hour fire radio.
You can't. You can't do 1 hour.
Says who?
That's only Tony Kornheiser does that. Only he can get away with that crap. Come on now. But thank you so much for the kind words, Harold. I'm going to say the same thing to you as I've said to anybody who's called in with regards to the situation. You know, it is my hope and prayer that Sturge is able to get himself rehabilitated to the point where he can come back on the radio. I know what it's like to lose a job of this nature by virtue of something that you have no control over. Everyone deserves the right to be able to have the ability to leave this business on their own terms. And quite honestly, he deserves the right to at least try to work his way back into whatever way he could possibly find it. If he can get himself into the kind of shape mentally as well as physically to where he can come back and be on the radio, I'm all for it. I'm supportive of it. This is his slot. I've tried as much as I possibly could to fill in admirably as much as possible. And quite honestly, I just want everybody to be whole again, and whatever that looks like, I'm very much in support of that. But thank you so much for the kind words there with regards to what we've been trying to do here ever since he was unfortunately able to continue about 11 weeks ago. And we extend the same kudos over to Mark Ryan, who, again, is also dealing with some sort of health issue as well. I know people have been calling us up about that. He's been dealing with a little thing involving his gallbladder. Again, I don't want to get into his personal business, but he's dealing with some pain with regards to that right now, and so we again wish him very, very well. Everybody out of the way. We've gotten all that taken care of. All the housekeeping is taken care of. Fiona over there, all the housekeeping's taken care of. Chambermaids have been paid off. Everything's all good.
Who's Fiona?
You're Fiona. I'm calling you Fiona.
Why am I Fiona?
Just want to make sure you.
Who is Fiona?
I want to make sure you're listening. Just want to make sure you're listening.
Fiona.
Let's hear a little bit from the coaches before we hear from Matty Connolly of the state newspaper. Will Muschamp speaking to the assembled media earlier today. This Florida offense not looking like it looked when it started the season. When it started the season under Felipe Franks, it looked a lot different. Wasn't nearly as effective. The quarterback play left a lot to be desired. They weren't running the football with any kind of effectiveness, but quarterback change happens, and Will Muschamp says they've hit it off from there.
Kyle Trask has taken over for, unfortunately, Felipe Franks was injured, but he's done a really good job. He makes, accurate with the football. He threw for over 300 yards Saturday night in Baton Rouge, but makes decisive decisions, gets the ball out quick. He's got arm talent, and just very impressed with what he has done and accomplished the first game against Tennessee. First drive of the game takes him right down the field and scores. So been very impressed with him. LaMichael Perine, the running back, has got a strong lower body. runs through contact, is a violent runner. Been very impressed with him, and Pearson and Davis are good backs as well. A very talented, big, and experienced group at the receiver position. Jefferson and Frankie Hammond, Josh Hammond. I coached his brother Frankie, Swain. All those guys, Grimes, Cleveland, all guys that have played a lot of football, really understand what they're doing offensively. And emergence of Kyle Pitts at tight end, which is kind of a hybrid tight end receiver, but has been very productive for him, is leading them in reception and big and athletic on the offensive line.
I'm going to say something else that's going to get people angry at me. Are you ready for this? Ray Tanner shouldn't have had to apologize to the Georgia athletic director for taking up the hedges, honestly. Apparently he had to call Greg McGarrity to apologize for the Gamecocks ripping up the hedges and whatnot. That's a load of garbage. He didn't have to do that. Why are they so offended by that?
They clipped a couple pieces off, right? They didn't actually pull a bush out of the ground.
No, they took a couple of branches from the hedges. That's all it was.
Do NBA teams have to apologize to the arena staff for cutting down the nets?
No.
Okay.
No.
Cutting down the nets is it doesn't regrow. The hedges regrow.
In fact, they have a sponsor for the ladder that they go up on to cut those nets down. Like, come on, man. Like, get out of here. Like, seriously. Like, why in the world are they having to apologize for that? Don't apologize for that next time, Ray. I'm gonna give him a hell next time I see him when I say that. I say, why the heck are you apologizing to Georgia, to Greg McGarrity? Oh well, it wasn't classy. It was not classy of them. Guess what? You don't win at Georgia often. And guess what? They're not the only people who have hedges. They're just the only ones who like to brag about the hedges.
Hedge is just a fancy word for a bush.
It literally is the funniest thing you ever said. You said that yesterday, and it's still just as funny today as it was yesterday. Let's hear a little bit from Dabo Swinney on the offense of Louisville. We told you about how this team is committed to the run and how everything kind of comes off of it. They've got the third best rushing attack in all of the ACC behind Clemson and Wake Forest, also the third most prolific offense. They, in the yards per play category, are just 0.2 yards per play behind Clemson for second best efficient offense when it comes to the ACC. One thing that they do know, though, is how to tote the rock.
They've been incredibly explosive, and that's all built through the run game. You know, that's just what they do. They're going to run the ball. They stay patient. They got down against Florida State 21-0. Mixed in a little bit more 12 personnel. Next thing you know, hey, they got back in the game, hit a couple of big plays, and it was a dogfight down at the end. But just very impressed with what I've seen from them. Offensively, they're going to really challenge us. We're going to have to play well. A lot of discipline, a lot of pressure on our safeties this week, the physicality up front with our D-line, linebackers communicating, fitting things properly, setting the fronts and so forth. So just a game, and that's how they're built. I mean, schematically, they really challenge you.
Of course, you think about a guy like Javian Hawkins, who has become kind of their all-everything running the football. Of course, Cunningham runs it as well, one of their two quarterbacks. And that's the part of this that you have to really be concerned with if you are Clemson, is that this is going to test a lot of their angles of pursuit this week between Cunningham, if he's healthy to go, and Conley and Javian Hawkins. A lot of pistol work, a lot of option concepts. It's gonna be very, very similar to the kind of scheme that they're going to face against Wofford. And it's something that I don't think they're necessarily going to have to go back to what they used to do when they played Georgia Tech every year and bring Brent Venables out there, old Vinny, where he's running the quarterback option and things of that nature. But you have to be on your keys and on your responsibilities and trust what you see on the football field, because it might not always mirror what you have here with the flashes. But there's a lot of motion, a lot of extra chicanery that happens, and quite honestly, that's something that Scott Satterfield has tried to utilize with the personnel that he's got there. And this is the other part of this, too, that I want to make sure you understand. And this is something that Dabo talked about earlier. Satterfield knows what he's doing when it comes to taking what personnel is there and adapting it as closely to what your style is. this isn't necessarily what Satterfield ran at App State. He didn't run a lot of this option concept stuff, right?
Not really. It was a lot of zone read.
And so this is kind of more him adapting to the personnel that he has at Louisville. And because of that, you're able to at least look a lot more cosmetic in year one as opposed to trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
He's definitely going to work with what he's got for the first 2 or 3 years. And then once he finally starts getting his recruits in there, he can set them up to run the offense that he wants to run.
See, that's what too many of these coaches don't do. Too many of these coaches try to assert their presence with authority, and they're going to run my system. See, that's the problem with what's going on with Jeff Collins. And you said this astutely right off the bat when we talked about Georgia Tech right off the start of the season. They shouldn't have junked the option as early as they did. Correct?
That's right.
That's what I said. I'm just making sure I'm not misquoting you. I want to make sure that you are quoted correctly and accurately, because apparently we're having some issues with that today.
They don't have the personnel to run what it is they're trying to run right now. So why not still implement a lot of option? And again, a coach coming into an option program, that's tough because he's not an option coach.
Of course.
So you'd have a coach trying to learn how to run the option when he doesn't have a clue. If he had come from a place that has run an option or had worked at a program that had run the option before, okay, then maybe he's got some familiarity with it, but he doesn't have it.
Well, the other thing, too, is that head coach is a defensive-minded head coach, so he needs to basically tell the offensive coordinator when he comes in, hey, by the way, we're not going to be able to run your system the way you want it right off the bat because all we have are guys who all they've done is run the option. So, quite honestly, until they get to a point where they're recruiting the kind of guys that they actually have, they've got to make do with what they have, and Satterfield has done that better than, quite honestly, anybody in the first year of a program, at least at this point. 844-GSP-ESPN, at least with what he has to work with. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. More on this, Matty Connolly of the State Newspaper will talk Clemson with us next, and how this team got right over the bye week and looked more like themselves against Florida State. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. It is our pleasure to welcome in for his usual Tuesday spot with us, Matty Connolly of the State Newspaper. He joins us on ESPN Upstate as we get you ready for Clemson and Louisville noon Eastern time kick in the Sunflower State. What's going on there, Matty C? How are you?
Doing well, man. How about you?
I'm well, sir. So let's look at this Louisville squad. Before the season, I don't know if you expected a lot out of Louisville. How much more do you expect out of this Cardinal outfit now that you've seen what Scott Satterfield's been able to do through 6 games?
Yeah, I mean, I believe in Scott Satterfield, first of all. When you look at the job that he did at App and what he did with that program, not that it wasn't already a good program, but he just kind of the job he did, getting them as competitive as they were at the FBS level and the great year they had last year and kind of the foundation he left them to continue that success this year. I thought that he would turn Louisville into a really good team eventually and one of the better teams in the ACC. I'm a little surprised to see them 4-2 at this point of the year. I just thought that, with what they were left with Bobby Petrino leaving and kind of the roster shambles the way it was, and it would take a little more time than this. So really impressed by the job he's doing. I think offensively in particular, they can kind of give teams some trouble. I just think they're maybe – I thought they'd be decent this year in Satterfield's first year, and I think they're even a little ahead of schedule of what I expected out of them.
Yeah, when Dabo said – we played the quote earlier from the press conference where he said coaching matters – That basically is Dabo's way of saying that Bobby Petrino is not a good coach. I mean, that's about as close to an insult from Dabo as you're going to get, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, Bobby Petrino obviously has a resume that was impressive, and for a while he was a really good coach. But at the end of that tenure, or at the end of his tenure there, you could tell, and Dabo basically said it, and Tony Elliott said the same thing yesterday, that the players had kind of quit. In some ways, the effort wasn't there. They had just kind of checked out, and it's kind of hard to blame them, knowing that something was happening with a coaching change coming up. And you could see that in the game last year as Clemson put up almost 80 points and just really did whatever it wanted to, no matter which backups or whoever was in. So, I mean, you're just definitely seeing the effort there this year. Players really playing for this new coaching staff, and it's translating to wins on the field.
Matt Connolly, State newspaper, Clemson beat writer, joining us here as we look towards Clemson and Louisville. I do want to look back on what we saw last weekend, Matt, because if that wasn't darn near close to what the 2018 looked like, I don't know how much closer it can look. For the first time this year, it felt like this team finally looked like themselves.
Yeah, and that was something that you know, I thought was good to see if you're a Clemson fan. I mean, I just think that, you know, we all expected the offense to kind of turn around and be what it was last year at some point, but expecting it and actually seeing it happen, I think, is two different things. And so to see them go out there and kind of put together the performance that they did and kind of know that they're capable of putting together that kind of performance, I thought was good for that group to see. Yeah, I mean, it did look like the 2018 version in a lot of ways, where you had Trevor connecting with Justin Ross and the running game clicking with Travis breaking 100 yards and really every facet is kind of clicking. So I think that's what we thought we'd see a lot more this year. And, you know, like I said, I've been critical at times this year, and I think it was okay to be critical and say, hey, this team isn't living up to expectations at this point, but at the same time, they have a chance to get there and should probably get there. And Saturday we saw they got there with really a dominant performance against Florida State.
What do you make of how, and again, I don't even know if it's being defensive, but just the way that Dabo has handled the criticism surrounding Trevor Lawrence. Again, I know he's standing up for his guy, and that's expected, but I almost feel like he's barking up the wrong tree here a little bit.
Yeah, in some ways, and you know, I don't want to, I guess, try to create any controversy or anything any more than this already happened, but I just think in some ways he was for sure trying to defend his player, which you get and you understand, but also, you know, as reporters, it's our job to kind of ask questions. And so, you know, it wasn't like a reporter going behind somebody's back or anything. You know, if Trevor was asked a question, he answered the question. And so, you know, I had a hard time seeing how the reporter was necessarily at fault when, you know, it's kind of our job is to ask questions and try to find answers. That's what reporters do. So, anyway, you know, I wrote a story as well about Trevor's injury, and I think I and the reporter who also reported it both said kind of this was a thing that was in the past, and, you know, if Clemson was ever worried about his shoulder or anything going on with it, it's clearly fine now because you saw the way he ran it against North Carolina and ran at a career high times and everything. So, I don't know. It's just been kind of an interesting couple weeks on the beat for sure. But, you know, I think overall with that, it has a really good relationship with the core kind of beat writers that are there every day, and I don't think anything will change with it.
Matt Connolly of the State newspaper, who is part of that core, and he joins us here on ESPN Upstate to look at the Clemson team. This team runs football well with Louisville. I mean, they third best in the ACC when it comes to running the football, third best offense numbers-wise when it comes to total yardage, and second best in yards per play. Do you believe the hype that comes with what they've been able to do, or is it the schedule that they've played?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I do think they're a pretty good running team. They've got some skill. As Dabo said today, you know, they didn't just inherit an empty roster. They've got some redshirt freshmen and sophomores and juniors and seniors that could play on that team and that are capable of putting together drives and having some offensive success. And you've seen that this year. So, you know, I think it's an offense that has some playmakers, has some quick, shifty guys that can – make you miss in space, and Clemson did a nice job tackling against Florida State. That was probably, as far as defensively, the most impressive thing I saw over the weekend was just how well they were tackling in space against some of those really good athletes that Florida State has, and they'll need to continue that this weekend against Louisville to make sure they're not in another dogfight like they were the last time they went on the road.
What are you expecting out of them at quarterback?
Oh, well, Pats is out for the year, I guess. So I think Cunningham, is the next guy. So, you know, I honestly haven't watched a ton of their film, but, I know they just put up, 62 at Wake last week. So, you know, whoever's at quarterback, I think they'll probably have feel pretty good about their chances moving the ball to them, even against Clemson's defense, just when you're coming off the performance they did at Wake Forest, but I haven't seen a ton of them, to be honest with you.
Hey, you first guest on Wake Forest, because when we had you on, it was either last week or a couple weeks ago, and I was telling you about worrying about Wake and saying whether or not it'd be a good idea for Clemson to have them come in undefeated. You kind of put the hex in the Deeks, man. You know, what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a good team, and I think they've proven that this year with beating North Carolina and even playing Louisville well after they fell behind and stuff. But I just wasn't sure that was a team capable of reeling off however many wins in a row and coming to Death Valley undefeated. So, you know, I think they're still one of the better teams in the ACC, but it's kind of a mess right now behind Clemson, and that'll probably continue throughout the rest of the year with kind of just different teams kind of moving ahead and behind at different points throughout the year. But I think it's pretty much Clemson, and then you've got a large group after that are pretty even, and then kind of another separation after that.
Matty Connolly, state newspaper, Clemson beat writer, joining us here to talk some Tiger football here with us, as he does every week at this time here on ESPN Upstate and ESPNUpstate.com, as well as the Radio.com app. By virtue of the position that he plays, Chad Smith just always seems to be around the football. This is kind of a position that almost looked like almost could be a possible revolving door at that spot. But he's kind of been putting it a little bit more on more solid ground than I even thought he would. What has his impact in your mind been over the course of the beginning part of this season?
Yeah, he and Skowski both, I think, early on of the year. They played okay, but not as well as maybe the coaching staff was hoping for, and that was just need to get out there and get more experience. I mean, they've both been around a lot. They both played in a lot of games, but as far as being every down guy that you have to count on every play to go out there and make a play and make a tackle and, you know, take advantage of their opportunities, I think it took a little bit of adjusting to get used to that. But when I talked about tackling the space, those were two of the main guys this past week, along with linebacker Isaiah Simmons, who seemed to do a really good job, and they kind of cleaned up some of those missed tackles that hurt them against North Carolina, and at times, earlier on in the year, even the Charlotte game, Charlotte had some success running the ball. So I think both of those guys and Isaiah Simmons as well just had great years. I think Isaiah's been the best player on the team at linebacker, and so, you know, I think that was a position that Dabo, or a position group Dabo, felt good about going into the year. You're kind of seeing that come to fruition.
I found, and it's hard for you, even when you have access to the All-22 like we have with the NFL games, to really discern, you know, individual play on the line. But when a guy like Matt Bockhorst wins the offensive lineman of the week as somebody who basically is kind of a part-time player, what were you able to surmise about what he's been able to do that impressed the folks in the conference office and also by extension the Clemson office, the way he played against Florida State?
Yeah, it was funny. Dabo said today that Jackson Carman was their offensive player of the week, and or he and Travis Etienne were co. And so I guess Bockhorst wasn't the best Clemson offensive lineman by their grading themselves, but I think they nominated him for offensive lineman of the week. So anyway, I guess, you know, and I'm with you, it's kind of hard to tell at all times exactly, you know, who's playing great, who's not. But, you know, I think he went in there as a backup and did a really nice job and kind of continues to give them another guy that when things aren't going great or, when things are going great, they need to rest some guys that he's another capable backup who can go in there and really play well. And so, you know, that offensive line depth just continues to grow. At North Carolina, you saw Jackson Carman had some struggles with penalties. Jordan McFadden went in at left tackle for him and played well. So I think they've got a solid starting group that they believe in, but they also have some guys behind that they feel really good about as well. And Bockhorst is certainly in that group.
And especially getting an offensive lineman of the week off of the woeful performance that that group had against UNC, it comes at the right time and the right response for that group as a whole, yes?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing at North Carolina that surprised me was just the penalties and jumping off sides. And, you know, Dabo mentioned it again today. That's a group that's played a lot of football, that's played in national championship games, that's played in ACC championship games, and they've played in some tough environments. And so for them to go and have the struggles they did at North Carolina, I think really surprised him and disappointed him. But it's not something he expects to carry over. And he made that clear today that, you know, going on the road again this weekend, it doesn't matter how loud it is or kind of how tough an environment it is. He expects the group to play well and go out and perform a lot better than they did against North Carolina.
Last one from Matty C. Darion Kendrick's interception return for a touchdown is something that I'm sure had to make Clemson fans look the happiest this weekend, and I'm sure those inside the defensive meeting rooms about as happy as the fans could be. And I even asked this about to Brett Venables about how much this was a culmination of all the hard work from his perspective. Do you think that almost meant more just because of who it was, the fact that it came from him that way this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, he had a tough preseason. I think he had a friend die, and he had to go to his funeral and battle some injuries going into the season. And so, you know, the position changed, obviously. So I think for him to go out and kind of have the game he did and just continue to have the start of the season that he has, it just kind of helps build his confidence up even more. And he's a confidence player, or he's a confident player, but when you can go out and kind of perform the way he did, I think it just helps you kind of as you continue throughout the year and up, you know, if you go to the playoff and face Alabama and Jerry Jeudy and that group of receivers and some of these other teams around the country, Ohio State, Oklahoma, that have very prolific offenses. I think the more his confidence can grow before you get to that point of the year, the better it is for him and for the Clemson defense. So I think they continue to feel really good about him, and that had to be a great moment for him Saturday and another just big confidence boost as the season continues.
Read Matty's stuff at thestate.com and also in the paper edition of It. Thank you so much, Matty. Safe travels to Louisville.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That's Matt Connolly joining us here from the State newspaper, Clemson beat writer, as he does on a CNC Tuesday. Are you watching these fly balls in this Yankee game that are not going out? Basically, there were two balls. One was hit by Gleyber Torres. Didi Gregorius hit one for the Yankees that looked like it was going to go out. And then Martin Maldonado hit one for the Astros, looked like it wasn't going to go out. You can't sit here and tell me that the regular season baseballs, those wouldn't have been home runs. Because they're weighting the balls down or doing something to cut down the offense. Because you know that place is a freaking bandbox with a wind tunnel. And those balls did not go out. Who knows? Who knows? 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number, text line 71307. We'll hear a little bit more from what Will Muschamp had to say and what they're trying to do with the defensive improvement that they've had and how to simulate the two Florida quarterbacks, Kyle Trask and Emory Jones, next on ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
One Panther note, the Panthers have waived former Clemson wide receiver Ray-Ray McCloud. They've also released wide receiver Tyron Johnson from the practice squad. McCloud, if you know, was taken basically by the Panthers near the end of the preseason, early part of the regular season, to try and be a help on the return game. And unfortunately, he's been making more news with muffing kicks as opposed to actually catching the football, which, of course, is your first job as a return man. I think he also muffed one in London in a game against Tampa Bay, if I'm not mistaken. So unfortunate end of the road for him. We'll see if he latches on elsewhere, but unfortunately unable to stick with the Panthers. They, of course, again, are on a bye week after the London game. And the one interesting thing about what's going on with Carolina right now is the fact that his foot injury is healed, and they expect him to be ready to practice after the bye week. And the one thing the Panthers have said, we're not going to make a decision about Cam Newton until he's back. Well, guess what? He's back next week, and let's just say they're going to have an awkward little conversation about what they want to do about the future of their team. I personally think they should stick with Kyle Allen until he loses, but that's just the way I feel about that. The Clemson Tigers taking on the Louisville Cardinals this weekend on 93.3 The Planet. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock with the Ingles College Football pregame show. Mark Bryan, Fatboy, and Nine scheduled to appear at an Ingles near you. And we'll have the coverage of Clemson football beginning at 9 a.m. on our sister station, 93.3 The Planet. South Carolina hosting Florida in a South Carolina State Fair adjacent game. Of course, coming off of what I would call the biggest victory in the history of the school after beating Georgia 20-17 in overtime last week between the hedges. Will Muschamp says it's important for his team not to dwell on the win, flush the emotions, be ready for the Gators.
In life, generally, you don't always get what you want. But generally, you get what you deserve. And if you prepare right, and you prepare the right way, and you watch film the right way, and you work out, and you practice the right way, and you have the right kind of preparation and focus leading into game day, and then all of that comes to fruition on game day, and you play well on game day, then you deserve the right, not saying you will, but you deserve the right to have the opportunity to win the game. If you don't prepare the right way, and you bask in something that happened in your past, and you think about that and not think about the present now, then you don't deserve that right. So there's a difference between wanting something to happen and deserving it to happen, in my opinion. Every week is a season here. We have certain things that we talk about all the time. You know, leave no doubt's been in our locker room from day one. Leave no doubt about your energy, your effort, your toughness, your discipline, your team-first mentality, and the opportunity. You've got to earn it every single day. I mean, we have certain things that we talk about all the time in our organization, and every week's a season for us. We're going to pour our guts into Florida and hopefully create the opportunity to deserve the right, to have the right to win on game day.
Well, Muschamp talking about his team trying to make sure that it keeps its focus. He also wants to make sure that his team continues the defensive improvement that they've had over the last 2 weeks. Quite honestly, a dramatic improvement since even the Missouri game, but most importantly, over the last two against Kentucky and Georgia.
The last three ball games, we've improved and gotten better each week, and we've got to continue to improve. We've got another huge challenge in front of us with this group Saturday. I mean, they're very talented on the perimeter, and they've got a quarterback that's playing extremely well, so in a back that's very difficult to tackle. So we've improved, but we've always got room for improvement to continue to grow and get better. I don't know that necessarily we did too much, but I think we have narrowed some things down that we feel like our players do extremely well and our players feel comfort. And I think there's, sometimes as a coach, you need to be able to take input from your players. And I think that myself, number one, and our staff, number two, have done a really good job of, identifying what our players feel comfortable playing. And again, it all goes back, in my opinion, to comfort level as a player. And whether it's, playing quarters, playing 3D, playing man-to-man, pressure situations, what pass rush do we like, all of those things. And I think our players have identified some things that they feel more comfortable with and playing with. And then, the comfort level, you're going to play faster. And instead of thinking, you're reacting. And you've got to do that on defense. You start thinking on defense with the speed that we face week in, week out, you'll get burned.
Florida does something that I don't necessarily like. I'd personally like them to either stick with Trask or stick with Emory Jones. But the fact is they've had to go to Emory Jones a little bit with Trask kind of banged up over the last couple of weeks. Jones has proven to be kind of a threat. They've got a package with him where they do a little bit of running, but he also has shown the propensity to throw. The one thing is that's hard for this Gamecock team to simulate because they're not exactly stockpiled with a lot of available quarterbacks who can play on the scout team.
Well, we're short some guys as far as having guys that could simulate that, to be honest with you. So it's a lot of recognition by our players and obviously our staff of who is in the game. They don't change a lot. They really don't. There's quarterback run game with both guys, Kyle and Emery, and there's throw game with both guys. There's not a lot of drastic changes as far as what they do offensively when each guy's in the game, in my opinion. So I think just, you know, understanding who's there and the situation.
That is a little bit from Will Muschamp on this Florida squad. And, you know, I'd like to think that they have the ability to win this football game. I would. It's just going to be very, very difficult to predict that with as much emotion as went into that victory over Georgia. It's hard to see you be able to flush that at this level. Like that's the part of this. And again, it's something that cannot be belittled. This is a situation that honestly, from the standpoint of whether or not you think that these players, these 18 to 22 year olds, will look the same every week. It's just this is not something that usually happens. Usually you get some wavering, some up and down. You see it with Clemson. They there's always a game every year where they come out and they throw a clunker. Maybe that was the case for Georgia. And quite honestly, their clunker resulted in a loss. Whether or not South Carolina can force Florida to have a clunker. And again, this is a game where Florida is only favored by 5.5. So it's obvious that the folks in Vegas got a lot of respect for what South Carolina did in Athens. But still, they believe that Florida still should be the victor in this contest. I'm wondering if something happens similar to what happened in this contest with Georgia last week, whether or not they're able to kind of cause some turnovers, cause some momentum plays that help them on the defensive side of the football, if that can help the offense get going a lot more than they did against Georgia. Because that's the one thing that would concern me, is that they're going to have to score some points. This is not going to be the kind of game they can win 20-17. They're going to be able to have to score with Florida, and that's my biggest question mark going into this game on Saturday. 844-GSP-ESPN, text line 71307. We'll come back. We will give you what was left on the cutting room floor and some other odds and ends when we finish up with you next on ESPN Upstate. Do you know, Diesel, where Brett Bielema, the former Arkansas head coach, is now?
D2 school?
He is defensive line coach for the New England Patriots.
Really?
I had no idea. I am today years old when I found that out. But apparently, a disagreement between him and a player has gotten the player suspended. And a pretty prominent player, too. Defensive end Michael Bennett has been suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. He played just 11 snaps in the 50 that the Patriots had over the Giants last Thursday. His snaps came at the start of the second quarter. And then on Friday, after the Thursday game, he got a bit of an argument with his position coach. And he is no longer with the squad right now. So that's very unfortunate. That's pretty crazy. I'm today years old when I realized Brett Bielema was an NFL position coach. Rams also dealt Pro Bowl corner Marcus Peters to the Ravens on the same week that they put Aqib Talib on the IR. Very interesting to look forward to. Tomorrow, Taj Boyd, DJ Shockley, and you tomorrow. Hopefully we keep you entertained. Willie P and Diesel. So long, South Carolina.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.